It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Jacob Warren asking you to like, subscribe, and share. Dave needs this.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
The Dave Hooker Show,
a presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
Objective insight, expertise, top guest. Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app.
Download now for free.
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
I compute and obey.
Now to Dave Hooker.
Ready. How about something we hope becomes a regular part of the program, and that is a current Tennessee player will join us later in the show. I'm not going to tease it too much because I want to make sure we can get the connection right and all that good stuff. But we got plenty to talk about, but we will be joined by that current player on Tennessee's football roster that will play a monstrous part in what happens this upcoming season. I can promise you that. Samara Spencer is your newest Lady Vol. We'll discuss the pickup for the Lady Vols. Lane Kiffin tweets at Tennessee football, and it was kind of a weird emotional tweet. Bowl expansion. They're two words I never thought I'd say together again. With Caleb Calhoun, I'm Dave Hooker. Also on the program, is Nico more a local story than he is a national story? I had some conversations over the weekend I think you'll be interested in, and we're going to project Tennessee's depth chart. Plus, we might mention there's another Ia Maliava in the fold, and that's Madden, who won the Alpha Dog Award in an On7 regional camp. So it's a good thing we have learned how to pronounce his name, Ia Maliava, because there might be another one in the fold down the road. But I will be clear, I don't think Madden, despite his performance over the weekend, is anywhere close to Nico's status as a prospect yet. Now, he'll be a senior this year. We'll see what he can do to change that, but I don't see that happening quite yet. How are you, a big show, a big program? How are you, Caleb Calhoun?
Oh, I am amazing, Dave. Just incredible.
I doubt it, but sometimes you're like me. I have trouble reading if it's sarcasm. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. Guys, as everybody knows, I am expecting in about five weeks.
That's right. Can we do the countdown? How many days do we have to go?
We are at, 34 days away, assuming that it's on time, but still getting work done in the house at the same time. Man, guys, doing construction right before you're about to have a baby is a mistake.
All right, let's all congratulate Caleb as he's about to have a new addition to the family, and his life is about to change drastically. How drastically will the Vols change? Let's take a look at Off the Hook Sports and projecting the Vols' upcoming depth chart. We now have spring practice in the rear view. You can move around a little bit up and down the roster in the summer, but that's not really going to happen very much. Pretty much know who the starters are going to be on both sides of the ball coming out of spring camp. So let's start with the obvious. Nico would be the starter at quarterback, and we're going to discuss whether or not he's a national or regional story. But then let's get to four downs. It's brought to you by our good friends at Dynasty Pools and Spas. Four downs is right now on Off the Hook Sports as we project Tennessee's football roster.
Four Downs brought to you by Dynasty Spas, the most comfortable spas made in the United States of America, right here in East Tennessee. Drop in for the all-new showroom in Athens, Dynasty Spas, perfect for all four seasons. Four Downs, presented by Off the Hook Sports.
All right, Caleb, so we want to do this project in front of you, and Caleb, I'm curious, out of the 22 starters, I want to get your thoughts on these starters as well on the message board. But out of the 22, Caleb, how many were easy? Snap of a finger, top of easy. I think that will give us a hint at what Tennessee has coming back. 22, how many were just, boom, I got this?
Oh, well, there was quarterback, center, right guard, and right tackle. Quarterback, center, right guard, right tackle. Edge rusher, That honestly might be it. And punter with Jackson Ross.
Well, and your linebackers, right? Okay, well, let's get to them right now. What down is it, Coop? By the way, what should we do?
Cooper Mays here. Hit like and subscribe. Coop here. First down.
All right, the defensive front. Let's start with the defensive front. How do you see that shaking out with the two deep? Remind you that tackles can interchange, and they might be first string at the beginning of the season, second string. You don't know what's going to happen there. But how do you see the defensive front shaking out before we flip to the offensive side of the ball, which was so pivotal last year in Tennessee's stumble at Florida in September?
So the defensive front, the way Tennessee's defensive line works is they have four defensive linemen. They actually have a nose tackle that they do actually have as their nose tackle spot. They have another defensive tackle. Then they have an edge rusher who can kind of play off or on the line. And then they actually have a defensive end who can do 3, 4, or 5 technique up front. So their nose tackles, I believe Amari Thomas will be their starting nose tackle. I believe Elijah Simmons will be the backup. It's up to Elijah Simmons whether or not he and Amari Thomas share time at that position and Ronnie Garner can rotate the way he wants. And if he can, Tennessee will be uniquely loaded at that position then. The other defensive tackle spot is going to be Bryson Easton and Omar Norman Lott. There's no real starter between the two. They're just going to be alternating reps, I think, most of the time. They're both valuable players and valuable defensive tackles. Now, on the outside, I think at the hybrid defensive end position is what I call it. I think you're going to see Dominic Bailey and Tyree West kind of alternate snaps during that time period. I don't know who will win the starting job. I've got Dominic Bailey because of his experience, but Tyree West does have more potential. And then at edge rusher, there's no alternating snaps. James Pierce is the starter. Joshua Joseph is the backup. Period. End of story. No questions asked.
Yeah, unless James Pierce says he's tired. And then that's when somebody else gets to come in, and they're going to keep an eye on that. What down, Coop, as we take a look at Tennessee's starting lineup and top 22, brought to you by Dynasty Pools and Spas.
Cooper Mays here, second down.
All right, the offensive front. I think I know who the starters are. I'm not sure that I know who one backup is, which is kind of scary.
So the most obvious starter is Cooper Mays at center. That one's very, very clear. Left tackle is Lance Hurd. They got him from LSU for a reason. Left guard is Andre Carrick, and I don't think he should be, but I think you're right. They're going all in on him because they just don't have many options. Now, the other side is pretty clear. Right guard, Javonte Spragans, he's been there for 3 years. He's going to maintain that role. He's a heck of a run blocker. Cole Kublik, who I interviewed last year, who he's one of my favorite interviews because he's the only person who actually breaks down offensive line among national analysts.
He's excellent. We need to work on perhaps making him a regular guest this fall. That's a great call out.
Yeah. All he ever talked about with Tennessee's run game was Javonte Spraggins downfield blocking. I mean, I respect him so much for that. And then at right tackle, John Campbell Jr., they moved him over from left tackle to right tackle. Now, as far as the backups go, I got Shamorad Umarov backing up Lance Hurd, Dave. And I think at some point, somebody that has signed with Tennessee out of high school has got to develop on the offensive line. And
okay, I think this is a difficult call for, because I talked to somebody about Shamorad over the weekend. I think this is a difficult call for you because I think they're still in the building questioning, really got him as a tackle, but he may end up being a guard because he doesn't have quick enough feet. So that one I think is still up for debate. You may prove to be right at left tackle for sure.
Yeah, ideally they don't want to have to go to their backup left tackle.
Right.
And
I think if they did, they would probably flip Campbell and put somebody else at right tackle. But
that's where I'll go with the other side real quick.
Yeah, that's strictly me trying to throw a prediction out there. Go ahead.
Yes, because backing up Campbell at right tackle is going to be Dane Davis, I believe. So I think Dane Davis is just probably the top tackle off the bench if Campbell or Lance Hurd goes down. That's how I think they're going to work that. Now, the guard spot,
he might be the top guard as well, I'm told.
That's possible. If he isn't, the top guard will be down to Aiden Bussell, I think, will back up Carrick. And I think Jackson Lampley will back up Spraggins. One of them's got to emerge, right?
Isn't it time for Lampley? I'm all with you.
And then backing up Cooper Mays at center is going to be Vicent Ling. I think that one's pretty clear at this point.
You know what's funny? I think I only know the backup center position 100% for sure, which is Bison Lang heading into this season.
That is kind of intriguing.
That's not a great sign. I mean, we should know in year four who they are. I don't want to knock Josh Heupel because not everything's going to be perfect. But in this particular case, you would like to be able to say the backup at left guard is definitely blah. We really don't even know that. And I think there's some uncertainty from him as well. All right, let's get to third down, brought to you by Dynasty Pools and Spas.
Tennessee center Cooper Mays here, third down.
Buddy, I don't know how you're going to do this. Good luck to you. The back seven on defense. I feel like I know two starters, Ricky Gibson at corner and Boo Carter, despite being a freshman at strong safety. You got three other positions, including that nickelback to fill. Good luck.
Okay, so here we go. I'm giving my shot. I'm going to shoot my shot here. So the two line, it's funny, neither starter is returning at linebacker, but that's why I didn't say it's a guarantee, but I do feel like it's a guarantee because Keenan Peely starting at Mike, Aaron Carter starting at Sam. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think those are your two guys right there.
All right, and the backups I think are pretty obvious too. I think Jeremiah Thielander is going to back up Keenan Peely at Mike, particularly with Elijah Herring gone. And I think Caleb Perry is going to back up Arian Carter at Sam. So here goes my cornerbacks. I think the Oregon State transfer Jamon McCoy is going to be a starting quarterback. And then I think Ricky Gibson III will be the other starting quarterback. Now backing them up will be Jordan Matthews. And I was reading reports, Dave, that Christian Harrison, who was committed as a safety, the son of Rodney Harrison, has actually now been getting work at cornerback this year or this spring. So
possible. I think right now they're trying to find a place to put him, from what I'm told, which isn't a great sign.
That's not a great sign. Yeah. So that'll be the four cornerbacks. Now, another one who would be a cornerback, but I don't have him in the rotation because he's going to start at star, is going to be Jalen McMurray. I think Jalen McMurray, the Temple transfer, is going to be the starting star. Is it safe to say he's this year's Gabe Judy-Lawley, Dave?
Ooh, see, I was really, really high on Gabe Judy-Lawley because he was so versatile and can play a number of positions. So perhaps, but I was super high on Gabe Judy-Lawley at this time last year. So to say that they're equal in my mind would be a stretch, but I understand where you're coming from. Versatility, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, versatility and things like that.
Yep.
And then I think backing him up, sorry, he's not going to be starting. Y'all can be high on him all day. I still don't believe in him, but I think he can be a valuable backup. Andre Turrentine, I think, is going to be the backup star player. And I think he'll be another versatile player that'll kind of move around like Jalen McMurray. And so those are my two stars. Not, I guess I should say nickels, because stars just means something totally different. I hate the phrase star for that position. But anyways,
agreed.
Going to the safeties, I think the free safety, starting free safety is going to be Jacoby Thomas, the MTSU transfer. And I think Jordan Thomas is going to back him up. Over to strong safety, that's where I think Boo Carter steps in and becomes a starter immediately. And I think John Slaughter backs him up.
You realize that's football heresy, what you and I are just throwing out there like pure fact. A starter at safety. We ought to have Fred on to talk about how difficult it is to start at safety. That's a physical position. It's taxing on your body. And it's also difficult. You can get put in a bind.
So you're saying for a freshman.
I'm sorry?
You're saying a heresy to stay a freshman is going to start at safety.
Or anywhere, for that matter. I mean, it just usually doesn't happen in college football. It's just a big jump. So starting from day one, when's the last time Tennessee's had a starter from day one that was a true freshman, just showed up on campus?
Wait, you mean anywhere or at safety? There's been plenty that have started anywhere.
Well, just recently. What's been the most recent that started anywhere?
I mean, Bryce Thompson and Alante Taylor both started at cornerback the second they stepped on campus under Jimmy Pruitt. Yeah, and
those guys in the secondary that are gone.
I think it's more common than you think. Trey Smith, Darnell Wright, all these guys started as true freshmen.
I'm not against it. Just as a rule, most of the time they don't start as a true freshman. Four downs brought to you by Dynasty Pools and Spas. Fourth down will be those skill position players. That's got a guy named Nico in it. You know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready, because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. That just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemish bottles, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals made right here in East Tennessee. Support local Dynasty Pools and Spas, $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports, $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports, Dynasty Pools and Spas, dynastypoolsandspas.com.
Tennessee center Cooper Mays here, third down.
Skill position players, as we project Tennessee starters coming out of spring practice, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say Nico starts over Gaston Moore at the quarterback position. Am I crazy?
Well, Gaston Moore's not even going to be the backup quarterback. So, yeah, it'll be Nico, and then it'll be Jake Merklinger at quarterback. Running back is where things get interesting, and people are going to find me crazy on this. But the starting running back is going to be Peyton Lewis in the fall. He's going to get the bulk of the carries. And they need a feature back. Cam Seldon doesn't have the vision to do it. And so Peyton Lewis is going to be the feature back. But they're going to go four deep at running back, guys, because between Peyton Lewis and Cam Seldon, they're going to have an all-purpose back that goes by the name of Dylan Sampson. Maybe you've heard of him. And
Pretty good. He's not a 30-touch a game type of guy, but he can be a good 18 to 20, and then you need somebody to gobble up, 12 to 15 more carries, and you're good.
Yeah, which is why I have Peyton Lewis as the feature back and then Dylan Sampson as the all-purpose back. Behind both of them, it's Khalifa Keith, who's going to be the power back. I think they're going to use him the way they used Princeton Fant a couple of years ago when they need to line up and just get a yard. I think Khalifa Keith will be that guy. So it'll be Peyton Lewis, Dylan Sampson, Khalifa Keith, and then Cam Seldon will be the backup feature back to Peyton Lewis. But I think they have a great situation with them, and then they obviously have Deshaun Bishop. I'm going to get to receiver in a minute. I kind of want to close with that because I got some takes on that. But at tight end, Dave, I think Ethan Davis is going to be the main tight end. He's going to be the main playmaking tight end that McCallum Castles was or that Princeton Fant was. I think that one's pretty obvious. And he's got the rare physical talent. The physical blocking tight end, like what Jacob Warren was, I think will be Miles Kitzelman, the Alabama transfer. Now, as far as backups, I think Holden Stays will back up Davis as the athletic tight end. And Charlie Browder will back up Kitzelman as kind of the blocking tight end. And I did, for those questioning, yes, I did leave out Emmanuel Okoye. I still think Okoye has talent, but I just think he's still too raw at tight end right now. So
I feel a little bit the same way about Ethan Davis. Why? And that's why I would give Stays a slight nod for more production at the end of the season. But Ethan Davis, at some point, whether it's September, October, November, or in the offseason next year, it's about to click for him. It's within a year. Let me ask you this. Who did you have the most difficult time projecting? Who out of all the 22?
I haven't even been able to get to my receivers yet to show you.
Oh, okay. Breakdown. Yeah, go receivers. But I was going to set you up. I was going to say who was the most difficult, because receivers – can be challenging. There are two guys bouncing back from injury. Wonder how you factor that in. See, I was setting you up.
Oh, I didn't realize you set me up for that. Okay. Yeah, it was receiver.
I made a mistake. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, the most difficult was cornerback. I mean, the secondary was still the most difficult. But as for receiver, I think Brew McCoy is going to be the go-to wideout. He's going to be the number one guy. He's got the raw talent. However, brace yourself. The other starting wideout will be Mike Matthews, another true freshman stepping in. I think he's a rare talent that they just won't be able to ignore. So Brew McCoy and Mike Matthews will be your complimentary pieces. Right behind them, you'll see Dante Thornton. And then right behind Thornton, you will see Chris Brazel the second. But McCoy and Matthews will be your go-to wideouts. And then in the slot, Squirrel White, obviously no real question there. And then Braylon Staley will be the backup slot receiver.
All right. You just don't get this information anywhere else. Again, it's Four Downs brought to you by Dynasty Pool and Spas. And let me ask Caleb this. Who will be the best player that's not in his starting 22? The show represented by Banks and Jones. Well, it's because they're Tennessee's trial attorney. You can play to win with Banks and Jones because they'll go to trial. You've heard of other lawyers. They say they'll go to trial and fight for you. They won't. They just want to settle. That's the easiest way out. Well, that's not Banks and Jones, led by T. Scott Jones. They won't settle. They'll go to trial for you. Tennessee's trial attorney. They play to win. Truly, Tennessee's trial attorney when it comes to criminal defense or personal injury. Why settle? Banks and Jones, T. Scott Jones, banksandjones.com. All right. Who's the X factor not in your 22? You didn't have Matthews in your 22, or did you have him as a starter?
I had him starting with Brew McCoy, yeah.
Okay. Okay. That was going to be my pick because I did not think you would have him starting yet, but you've got him starting. So who's the newcomer that's not inside your top 22 that has the biggest impact?
Oh, the newcomer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, the newcomer. So
you threw a massive curveball at me on that one, Dave.
Massive. See, that's what I do. Because obviously, if I told you anybody, it would be Boo. But you've already picked Boo as a starter. So we got to go in a different direction. Oh,
it's got to be somebody who's not a starter and a newcomer,
and not a transfer.
Okay, I'm going to go.
That's pressure.
Okay, here's my hot take. I'm going to go Braylon Staley, and I'm going to tell you why. Squirrel White has more athleticism than Braylon Staley, and I think Hypo loves that about him. I understand that. He's amazingly fast. I mean, Squirrel White's incredible. I think Braylon Staley has better wide receiver instincts, though, than Squirrel White. What do you think, Dave? I think he actually has, like, more ball instincts.
I just need to see more. I'm going to be honest with you. Jury's still out. I know that's weak.
I think White will be the main starter, but I think they might alternate White and Staley this year. What if they do that?
Very possible. Yeah, I could see that happen because you and I both think that Dante Thornton is going to slide to the outside. And just how much fluidity is there in those positions where a guy could move outside to inside or inside to outside? I don't think Josh Heupel likes that, but coaches evolve over time. And maybe he sees that is the best way to go with this team.
There's one key part to that, which is that I think that the wideouts have to have a rapport with the quarterback, because a lot of this is receivers. They break on their route based on what the defense shows after the snap. And I think it's hard to get that rhythm if you're alternating on the inside and the outside. I do. I think it's much more difficult.
I agree with that. Apex Apparel Group Solutions, man, they will take care of you. Apex Apparel, they do so much more, not just fantastic clothes. They've also got the ability to design, brand, market your way, unique products to promote your business with unparalleled customer service. That is Apex Apparel. 15% off your first order for your company or your spirit wear. Just call Tyler, or you can click on the link below, just right below under Apex, 865-919-3001, 865-919-3001. All right, let me pick a guy who's not a newcomer, throw this at you, that could make the biggest jump from last season to this season. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Dante Thornton. I'm going to go first.
Oh, okay. Not a newcomer that can make the biggest jump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is Nico Iamaleava. But outside of Nico, I'm going to go Elijah Simmons. I think I'll go Elijah Simmons. And I bought into what you've told me about Elijah Simmons. So I'm going to go Elijah Simmons. By the way, just for people questioning, special teams, JT Carver, Josh Turbyville, my place kicker, Josh Turbyville, Max Gilbert, my kickoff specialist, Jackson Ross, Josh Turbyville, my punter, Matthew Solansky, Bennett Brady, my long snapper, and Dave, my returners. I've got Boo Carter and Cameron Seldon as my kickoff returners, and Squirrel White and Dylan Sampson as my punt returners.
I like it. Boundless, moving from the two-hour minimum to turnkey operations. You don't have to touch a thing. Boundless Moving. Just Google Boundless Moving in East Tennessee or Charlotte. Boundless Moving. They took care of all my items moving, and I couldn't have been happier. Boundless Moving. Ask for Matt. Ask for Matt and tell him Dave Hooker sent you of Off the Hook Sports. Boundless Moving. We absolutely love Boundless Moving, so check them out.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer. All lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right. So we got our front 22. We got the all 22 set, and we have Tennessee with some Nico Iamaleava news. I think a lot of us believe that Nico
Iamaleava
is a national superstar already. He played in one game. We've heard so much about him. The national media has heard a lot about him, but is he more of a regional story than a national story? After talking to some people in the media, and that's what we tend to do over the weekend, is just gab and gossip. I think he's more of a regional story. I think that a lot of people think Tennessee could have a pretty good quarterback, and he's going to sort of make his debut, even though he played against Iowa in the Citrus Bowl. But let's wait and see what this guy's got. I don't think most people nationally think of Nico as this guy is going to be a star the way they would look at, I don't know, an Arch Manning. And there's a list that supports my theory, from CBS Sports. We're not going to spend a lot of time going over lists because you could make a summer out of that. We're going to bring you more unique content, but we did want to address this. Why would Nico Ia-Maliava not be on this list, Caleb Calhoun?
So Andrew Ivins of CBS Sports had a list on 10 highly ranked college football recruits quickly meeting the hype. And it's based around, and to be fair, it's based around practice reports and things like that. I get that. So wide receivers for Jeremiah Smith and Cam Coleman are on the list. Florida quarterback DJ Lagway is on the list. Clemson linebacker Sammy Brown, Alabama cornerback Xavier Brown, Nebraska quarterback Dylan Raiola, North Carolina wide receiver Jordan Shipp, Miami tight end Elijah Lofton, Michigan State wide receiver Nick Marsh, and Texas quarterback Arch Manning are on this list.
Okay, there are about four dudes on that list you just noted off that I'm not familiar with, and I cover football for a living. So that's not a good sign to start with.
No, this is completely forgetting about Nico Ia-Maliava, because I get you go off practice reports in the spring, and Arch Manning lit it up in the spring, but you know, if you're going to do a freshman, like highly touted recruits already making an impact, in-game action should matter a lot, particularly more than spring practice, where Davis, you and I know coaches try to make certain freshmen look good in spring practice because they're trying to get them out there. And Nico Ia-Maliava, unlike Arch Manning, actually has started a game. And everybody who saw Nico play that day was super impressed, us included. So I just find it absolutely insane that Nico Ia-Maliava would be left off this list. And I started to think, how could he not be that hyped up? He's already started a game. He's a five-star commitment. He's at the center of an NIL lawsuit that's going to take down the NCAA. I mean, with all of that, you would think he'd be a huge news story across the board. And I feel like he's just forgotten about, oftentimes at the expense of Arch Manning. And maybe the Manning name has something to do with that, but you would think that wouldn't keep Nico Ia-Maliava totally off a list like this. And so now I'm starting to think maybe, are we insular, Dave? Is just covering Tennessee, being around the being within that network, making us think that Nico Ia-Maliava is getting more national hype than he actually is?
I think Josh Heupel's partly to blame for this because of his limited practice access. I'm not knocking him. That's the way he does his business. That, to me, is like saying paint that wall blue or yellow. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. We're going to do our jobs no matter how he does his. So if that's what he thinks is best for the program, then do that. By the way, take a second and hit the smash and like button. However, you used to hear stories coming out of spring practice when the entire things were open that, oh, at freshman Casey Clawson, he could be excellent, has great zip on his pass. He made an incredible slant route completion to blah, blah, Dante Stallworth, whoever the case. You don't get those stories out of spring camp. I'm not knocking the writer who did this. It makes me wonder how you even possibly base any sort of rating on these guys that have just shown up at Tennessee. And there are a lot of other schools that are run like Tennessee. I don't know how you come up with this list, but I'll answer your question. I think Nico is a little bit more regional than maybe we realize because we deal with it on a daily basis.
That's so crazy to think about. I mean, a guy like Nico Ia-Maliava is, I mean, there's so many reasons for him to be a highly touted quarterback that everybody's in love with. Everybody's in love with Heupel's offense. I get what you're saying about Heupel maybe keeping things close to the vest and not promoting things a lot, but he's just 2 years from, we're less than 2 years removed from Hendon Hooker being a Heisman finalist until he got hurt. And so I see something like that, and I think you see that, you see Nico Ia-Maliava's hype, the fact that he took down the NCAA. And you think, why is he not on this list? The only other explanation I can give, Dave, is, and this is kind of funny to say, maybe national media doesn't understand Joe Milton's limitations. So they think Heupel's offense is a little more gimmicky than they realize because it struggled last year, because they thought Joe Milton was just another Hendon Hooker.
So the thinking is this offense has been figured out.
Yes. And I will tell you, I will actually give you a a factoid on that. I've thrown him under the bus before because I've accused him of being in the tank for certain agencies that have NFL draft prospects, and that's why he props them up. And I'm talking about Mel Kiper, where last year he said, when he was analyzing Hendon Hooker's draft stock, he said the red flag on Hendon Hooker is that Joe Milton stepped in for Hendon Hooker and looked just as good when they played in the Orange Bowl. Now, you and I know that's not true. If you actually watch the flow of the game, even in that Orange Bowl, Joe Milton didn't look anything like what Hendon Hooker looked like during the season. Well,
and I also know that people on the team were absolutely stunned he played as well as he did. I know that for a fact. That they felt like that was his very best game. So we asked the question on our poll question on our YouTube page, why is Nico not getting more pub from the national media? They hate the Vols. Just an oversight. Everyone wants to talk about Arch. It doesn't help that a Manning is in the SEC now when you have a superstar young quarterback. A lot of superstar young quarterbacks are probably going to be overshadowed by a guy named Arch Manning. Wouldn't you think that would be the case? Caleb, brought to you by Don Self at State Farm. Customer service still matters. For 40 years, they have built their reputation on taking care of their customers. When it's time to pay that claim out, it gets done. We all want great prices, and that's part of what Don Self does. Customer service is what really stands out. DonSelf.net, right below DonSelf.net, or 423-396-2126, 423-396-2126. A lot of guys are going to get overlooked because of Arch and the fact that he's at Texas. It's not like he's at Mississippi State. I mean, that's a pretty big, easy story to hang a part of your column on, if I can say it a nice way.
I think the Manning name actually now works against a lot of people. So I'm not going, I mean, I get it. I don't mind Arch being on the list. I think it's more Nico being off the list because I think the Manning name a lot of times works against people now. I mean, there's anonymous scouts saying Arch Manning's not an NFL draft pick. That's stupid. He's an NFL draft caliber pick. Okay, so they won't go on record saying it, but people are saying that. I just know, and you know this. This started back with Peyton Manning at Tennessee in '94. There was a contingency, and I've actually read old articles about it, Dave. You've talked about how it was 60-40 Manning Stewart. The Stewart people, many of them genuinely thought Fulmer only went with Manning because of his name, not because he was the better quarterback. And which, looking back, is like, no, he went with him because he was the better quarterback. And coach is going to...
And the Manning name wasn't the Manning name then. I mean, it was
just they had one quarterback. Archie. Exactly. And I remember, I was old enough to this point. I was young, but I was old enough to remember when Eli committed to Ole Miss. And I lived in Memphis, remember, guys, and that's very much in the Ole Miss market. There was a lot of negative talk about Eli. There was a lot of talk that he was only there because of his name. And up until about, it wasn't until about halfway through the 2002 season where people started to get high on Eli as a quarterback. There was a lot of negative talk around him. Didn't help that he had that public intoxication arrest in 99 and things like that. But, you know, okay, when a lot of freshmen have that, no one says anything. When a freshman Manning does it, all of a sudden he's a spoiled brat. You know what I mean? That's what everybody was saying about him, which was totally unfair. So I think in many ways the Manning name works against you. So I actually think Arch having Manning by his last name hurts him. So I wouldn't go with that.
Okay, how much does Nico get hurt by the fact that Josh Heupel is a let's keep everything quiet coach? I mean, some coaches have open practices, fewer and fewer, but Josh Heupel wants to keep everything quiet. That's how he is. Should he open things up at all to create superstars, to create a potential Heisman run, or should he stay quiet? Caleb, ask you that. Brought to you by Rick Terry Jewelry Design. They want to be your jeweler. Looking for affordable game day jewelry? They've got the fire opals, a Tennessee tradition. RickTerryJewelry.com. RickTerryJewelry.com. You think Josh Heupel just likes it like this, that he keeps everything on the DL? And if you really know how good Nico is going to be, then it's because he's probably told you, or you've been paying close attention to other sources at Tennessee football practice, but you're not getting it via a soundbite that said, my gosh, this Nico guy's unbelievable. That's not Heupel's style. You're not getting it by saying, look at that Nico guy. He threw like 8 incredibly perfect passes in a row. Let's write about that. You're just not getting any pub. Is this to be expected? I think it is to be expected. Our poll question is this: why is Nico not getting more pub from national media? They hate the Vols 25%, just an oversight 12%. Everyone wants to talk about Arch 62%. Caleb, what say you?
Wow. Tennessee fans complaining about the Manning name being an impact. That's actually something I never thought I'd see, honestly. So I think that I don't think it's a Manning name. I think it's either an oversight or I think there's some hatred for Tennessee. And I can't believe I'm saying that because I usually don't call out, you know, I'm the most unbiased, like almost anti-Tennessee person among people who covers Tennessee. But I think the way Tennessee fans have really embarrassed and humiliated journalists who haven't done their job in certain moments. I think a lot of national media has resentment to Tennessee. I think it, you know, dating back to the Greg Schiano moment, I think there was a genuine disdain for many people with Tennessee over that, because I'll just say what it is. A lot of reporters thought they were going to get good access with Greg Schiano, and Tennessee fans cost them their chance to have good access.
Mike has a really good point. Clickbait Arch on the title of a story. That's very true. I work for a group who covers the entire SEC and now some other conference. And if Kirk Herbstreit said, oh man, it's hot in here, I need a glass of water, it was like, stop everything and write Kirk Herbstreit said, because he would get so many clicks just because of his name. The Manning thing still gets that. It still gets people to the top, because you could be searching for the Manning cast and you could put Manning television. Who knows? Arch Manning's latest game at Texas might come up. So there is some SEO factor in there as well, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And you're right. It's now worse with like online media than it ever used to be. As far as, by the way, one of my first articles, whenever I first started writing college football, I got hold of the picture of Johnny Manziel rolling up a $20 bill in the bathroom in Vegas. And I just wrote Johnny Manziel, and like, I knew that article was going to take off. And so I get how that works. But as far as, by the way, the coaches keeping him under wraps, I think Heupel does like promoting his players, but he likes to do it just in the game, which is why he runs up the score a little more than he should. It's actually the reverse of Philip Fulmer. Remember when Philip Fulmer would drive the media train and the media hype behind certain players, but wouldn't try to beef up their stats in a game to do it? He just, you know, went to ESPN and said, I think Eric Ainge has many of the similar qualities as Peyton Manning, which he did.
Yes. Tennessee picks up a new commitment. Also, Lane Kiffin with a semi-emotional tweet about Tennessee football bowl expansion, and a special guest to join us later in the program that is a current Vol. We hope to work that out. And next, Tennessee picks up a commitment. Stay tuned. He's Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports.
Fifth year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that. If we wouldn't put our family in it, we're not going to put their family in it. If you're going to say that you're doing the best work in Knoxville, now saying it's one thing, producing it and providing it's another.
The largest family-owned collision center in Knoxville is Joe Neubert Collision Center.
Hi, I'm Rick Terry, and we at Rick Terry Jewelry Designs pride ourselves in the highest quality craftsmanship from a family-owned business here in Knoxville for over 35 years. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we also take pride in being an affordable option for all your game day accessories, especially those fire opals. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we want to be your jeweler every day and especially on game day. Go Vols!
Hi, Mike Davis here with City Heating and Air, reminding you to always dare to compare. Our team provides quality local heating and air service, installation, and maintenance across East Tennessee. We use only the best equipment, like American Standard heating and air conditioning, for your residential, new construction, or commercial needs. Honesty, dependability, and customer satisfaction have been the cornerstones of our business since 1961. City Heat and Air.
There's your bear.
Experience it all at Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. Need a quick fix or routine maintenance? Visit our Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. Keep your Ford running smoothly with the experts in our service department. Ready for your next Ford? Our sales team's here to guide you through. 24 Ford Badlands Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust? Experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
You're listening to The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
The internet is full of pictures of each and every one of you.
Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app. Download now for free.
Is there nothing you people can't do?
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
Welcome back to the program. We've already told you who will be Tennessee's starting 22. We told you why Nico may be overlooked from a national perspective. Coming up, a current ball joins the program. We look forward to that. Should be some fun. Kicks there. Excited about that. All right. Let me ask you this. Tennessee picks up a commitment, and it is Tamara Spencer. What do you think of the class that is being assembled right now with the Lady Vols basketball team, and in particular, Tamara Spencer, Caleb?
Well, Kim Caldwell is answering a lot of questions that John Adams and myself had about if her offense would if her style would translate to this level, which obviously, for those who don't remember, led to the very short response Caldwell gave Adams that everybody thought was so viral. Now, the question was always, Kim Caldwell ran with her tallest player at Marshall last year was 5'9". And she ran this up-tempo style, transition, press, shoot the three if you get up the court before the other team gets there, gets up the court defensively. And that's how she had so much success. The question was always, can she really do that at this level with her tallest player being 5'9"? Or is she going to have to get more size? And Tennessee had size. They didn't have size in terms of players fast enough to run the system. That's why Caroline Stripling transferred out. Well, she answered that by adding two transfers. First, Alyssa Latham being one of them. She added a couple of 6'3", 6'4", transfers to add more size to the program, which was necessary. But the problem was neither of those players could shoot the three. So she went and added Tamara Spencer from Arkansas, which is finally a guard, which would make you assume she's a better three-point shooter. And in 2021-22, she was SEC Freshman of the Year, shooting 34.4% from three. Dave, here's the problem. She's gotten worse from three ever since then. She was 32.3% from three this past, or 2 years ago. And then this past year, she fell to an abysmal 26% from three.
That's not good.
That's not good at all. Mm-mm. So the question is, which Tamara Spencer is Tennessee going to get this year? Are they going to get the freshman? Because then they actually may have just enough to run the system that Kim Caldwell wants, which you need size, athleticism, and three-point shooting. But if she's poor at shooting the ball again, Tennessee doesn't have enough options for athletes who can shoot. And then they're in trouble. So I don't know. I say all that to get to this point. We don't yet know if Kim Caldwell has the roster she needs to run what she wants to run and have the success immediately next year, which Danny White said he wants to have. Because we don't know how Tamara Spencer is going to work out because she's so unpredictable.
Okay, the whole conversation, you referenced it, between John Adams asking Coach Caldwell about, can your system run at this level? I think a lot of people jumped on John because they didn't like John. And they said, oh, she got you. She burned you. But I thought what John was asking was really about depth. So if you're going to play that position, you can't just have five or six players That being said, if she's going to run transition and she's going to get up and down the court and they need to play 8, 9, 10 players, could you see a pothole in the road in her progression? Could Tennessee actually take a step back under year one with Caldwell, despite the fact that she was hired to be the salvation of the program?
With this personnel, I could. And I debated John Adams a month ago because he was saying that he doesn't see this roster. Because Tandy White said he hired a coach looking for immediate success. John Adams said he doesn't see how this roster will have it. I said I have faith that she'll bring in players from the portal. She's brought in players from the portal. She's addressed the size and athleticism. She hasn't addressed the three-point shooting at all. So how are they going to be able to, you know, Tess Darby, Sarah Puckett, Jewel Spear, they can all shoot that are still on the team. They're all reliable shooters. Jewel Spear is the only one who's actually athletic, though. So maybe Kim Caldwell's smart enough to have, like, you know, one of her 6'4 players who's really athletic, couple of athletic guards running the break, and then you'll have that one three-point shooter that can't really run the court with everybody else, but that's not athletic, but can hang with everybody else when they're running the court. Like, okay, for instance, a great example is Chris Lofton. Now, no, none of these players are Chris Lofton. Let me be very clear on that. But what I mean is...
Right. You remember because they're female, partly.
Well, yes. Yes, exactly. But relative to shooting ability. Okay, Chris Lofton was Caitlin Clark in terms of shooting ability.
Pretty accurate.
So what I mean with Chris Lofton, there was Bruce Pearl wanted to run the break. Chris Lofton wasn't that athletic, though. But running the break is what created so many chances for Chris Lofton to shoot so many open looks from three and get red hot. And so maybe that's what Tess Darby or Sarah Puckett will be able to do in this system. But right now, I knew they needed more size, they needed more speed, and they needed more three-point shooting. They've gotten size and speed. They haven't added three-point shooting. So the question is, will this system allow for Samara Spencer to be a better three-point shooter along with the other players on the team who are who have shown an ability to shoot the three but haven't shown an ability to be elite from three?
Okay, let's take a look at the overall class, see what they have and what you think they need. Quality Tire Pro, the Eberle family, has been serving Chattanooga and the community since 1957. All major brands of tires, full service, automotive, brake alignments, oil changes, and more. QualityTirePros.com. QualityTirePros.com. Stop in there and tell everybody, hey, Off the Hook Sports sent me. Hey, how's everybody doing? Hi, Bo. How are you? That is Quality Tire Pro, downtown Cherokee, Chattanooga, QualityTirePros.com. So what do you make of this class to this point in year number one?
Right now, I hate to do this. I'm not. Guys,
give us a rundown for those that don't know. Who do they have so far?
All right, so the transfer they've added are Alyssa Latham, Lazaria Spearman, the two 6'3", 6'4", athletic players on the post, and then now Samara Spencer, a 5'7", athletic guard. They have coming back Jewel Spear, who is 5'10". They're going to have Sarah Puckett, who is 6'2", and they're going to have Tess Darby, who is 6'1". That is good size and good shooting with those players. Then they have Kaya Wynn, Destiny Wells, Julian Hollingshead. So they can run, I would say, maybe 8 or 9 deep right now. I am going to be what every political sports analyst does when they're scared to give a take on something they don't know. I'm going to say this roster has potential. Dave, I hate saying that. I hate saying that because it's the most oversaid thing in all of sports, isn't it? Like, oh, this roster, this team has potential. Well, everything has potential, right? Every player has potential. That's not real analysis when someone says it.
It was like us overusing culture last year. I want to ask you, with the Lady Vols that they're, or the ladies that they're approaching, do the Lady Vols still have that pull? Because it's been how many years since Pat Summitt was the head coach?
It's been 12 now.
I remind you how quickly this fades for young people who are just turning 17 and 18. So she last coached for the Lady Vols when they were like 5 and 6. So do you think that's still there? The Lady Vol pool when they recruit, or is that faded into the past? Portions of the program brought to you by the Hemp House, the premier hemp dispensary online with a wide variety, great selection, and strict standards to ensure you only receive the best in CBD or Delta products. Go to HempHouseChatWithTwoTees.com, HempHouseChatWithTwoTees.com, or use the promo code HOOKED, that's HOOKED, for 10% off. What do you think, Caleb? When the Lady Vols call, is that a phone call you're certain to pick up and take, or are you thinking, ooh, it's Mulkey or South Carolina or probably not Geno as much anymore, but do the Lady Vols still have that when they call, you're answering?
You may answer, but it won't go further than that. It's like when Notre Dame calls in football. Does a Notre Dame call mean that much anymore in football? Does, like, you know, when put it this way, I think Nico, or was it Brew McCoy or Nico? One of them went to Modern Day High School in LA, which is like the most prominent high school in California. I remember Dan Orlowski, who I do like, was having a debate.
Snoop Dogg sold Cameron Diaz pot, for the record.
But anyway, oh, nice.
No, that was Polytech. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm a fan of Modern Day High School. I mean, I'm a fan of Dan Orlowski, but he tried to say at one point, he said that, because there was a debate over if Notre Dame or LSU is a better job, and he said, the lore of Notre Dame, you go out to Modern Day High School, which is a prominent school in California, LSU calls, Notre Dame calls, you're picking up the phone for Notre Dame. I'm like, I don't think Nico Imaliava picked up the phone for Notre Dame. I don't think he cared that Notre Dame called, quite honestly.
But there is an entire philosophical change of how you run an athletic department and being an independent as opposed to being a part of a conference. And in this case, you're talking about the Lady Vols are still on the level playing field. There's no huge difference. You're talking about the Lady Vols have. Now, we can talk facilities in women's basketball recruiting, right? Because we've decided we're not talking facilities in football because it just isn't not a factor in recruiting. It's not anymore. They all have something good enough or as good. But it's still
Butch Jones said that Tennessee's juice bar would help them out recruit Alabama.
Okay, yeah. But it's still a big one in basketball, right? I mean, the Pratt Pavilion that you get to use 50% of the time and all of that. I mean, the Lady Vols should still get you in the door. The Lady Vols facility should get you even further in the door. So that's why if Caldwell can't recruit at Tennessee within the next 2 or 3 years, I don't think it's going to take long to see if she'll have success. You look at those recruiting classes and you'll know pretty quick if she's going to have success at Tennessee or not.
Absolutely. And it's funny you say that because many women's basketball programs, Dave, as you know this, they play in like a school gym field house relative to not the actual stadium on campus. You know what I mean? So you're easily able to recruit against that.
For you that went to Tennessee or those that went to Tennessee, think Alumni Hall. That's the type of workout facility that most of the women have in college sports. They do not have equal opportunity. I know they're supposed to because of Title IX, but it just doesn't happen. And do you think that the men practice when they want to or when it's convenient for the women at Tennessee? They practice when they feel like practicing. Lane Kiffin gets a little emotional. Portions of the program brought to you by Newbrook Collision Center.
Fifth year. The second and third generations continue Joe Newbert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Newbert Collision Center.
So I'm looking on the Twitter yesterday, and we'll have this day in Tennessee football or Tennessee sports history coming up as well, Caleb. But if you can pull up Lane Kiffin's tweet about a piece that was done on his family back in the Knoxville News Sentinel days when they were at the top of their game and we were covering Lane Kiffin and the fact that it was such a unique story, obviously, with Philip Fulmer's tenure at Tennessee and how Tennessee had been all in-house when they made hires and they go out and get this crazy guy like Lane Kiffin. Let's share the tweet because I know Lane Kiffin pokes fun at times at the Vols, and he likes to tweet out when he is on campus recruiting. But this one is the kind of the feature story page. This is, if you can see it on your page, if you're on our YouTube page, please hit like and subscribe if you haven't done that already. It's tailgating, and it was a special section, and on the front is Layla Kiffin and Lane's daughters and son, which would be Knox, who you're going to hear about in recruiting circles here in a couple of years. But this was sent out by Lane and makes me want to revisit what could have been. Because for those that think he's just a no good snake in the grass, Caleb, that's really not true when it came to Tennessee. I think he would have stayed at Tennessee for the foreseeable future had not one school come calling, and that's Southern California. Now, if the Dallas Cowboys come calling after he has 3 or 4 years of success at Tennessee, that's different. But I've never asked you this. Do you think Lane Kiffin would still be at Tennessee if he hadn't have gotten that Southern California job at some point during his career?
I think he would have been, unless he was so brazen with his recruiting violations that he ended up putting Tennessee on probation and they were forced to fire him. And but I think that was a real possibility. Lane Kiffin had to humble himself at that time. But I think otherwise he would. Look, I remember covering recruiting during that time, and I remember looking at the 2010 class, and Dave, you probably remember it. That 7-6 team, that first year he was there, you saw the pieces in place for how good that program was going to be in a couple of years, right? You knew who they were targeting and who they were getting. And
you did.
I think he would have been, and he knew what, and Lane Kiffin knew what he was targeting and getting. Now, I do think Lane Kiffin, and this does matter. I think Lane Kiffin did not, I don't like to say cliche stuff, but if there are some coaches that do it, you do have to throw it out. Lane Kiffin established such a culture of non-discipline that it would have unraveled on him fast, even if he had success. The same way it did in Jimbo Fisher at Florida State and Urban Meyer at Florida. He established such a culture of non-discipline and flash that even if he won, and I think he would have had big success, I don't know if it would have lasted. I don't know if he was mature enough at that moment for it to last.
Now, probably the worst thing for him at that age would be to have early success. And because that would just, and if Southern California didn't come calling, you'd just be more and more cocky at Tennessee. And yes, he could have gotten in his own way. And I'm not going to say, it's now been what, 14 years? So I'm not going to say 15 years. So I'm not going to say that somebody would be someplace in coaching for 15 years, because 99 times out of 100, that's not true, right?
Right. But
maybe an easier way of asking it, let me ask you this. I'll start with, would he have gotten to Atlanta for an SEC championship game? Caleb's answer, brought to you by our good friends at Ray Varner, Ford, and Clinton.
Bronco, 59,829, 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540, 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
All right, what do you think of that? Let me ask you this. Would he have gotten the Vols to Atlanta to play an SEC West team for an SEC championship?
They would have been in Atlanta in 2010.
Okay. Would he have won an SEC championship?
No, because he would have gotten so. Here's why. 2010, they would have been in Atlanta. The program would be rolling by 2011 and 2012, but that was peak Alabama dynasty, and I just don't think anybody could have gotten past them or that LSU team in 2011. And by the time Lane Kiffin would have maybe had the team to get past him, which might have been 2013, the 2013 Auburn year, that would have been his year probably had he stayed at Tennessee through 2013. So I take it back. He would have won the SEC championship in 2013. Absolutely. He would have won the SEC championship in 2013, and he would have played for a national championship, and it would have been Lane Kiffin versus Jimbo Fisher against Florida State. That's what would have happened had he stayed at Tennessee.
Specific. Sounds like you put some time into that one.
Well, Dave, here's my real question, though. And I got a question about this. He tweeted this out because he put hearts on it, and he said, just saw this. Guys, I got to point out how weird this is. He's divorced from his wife, who was at the feature on that.
I know, and you'll understand. You don't understand this now, Caleb, but you will. When you look back on pictures of your kids and they're that young, there's an emotional tie, a hearkening back. That's why I'm with you. If I'm an Ole Miss fan, I'm not happy about this. This sounds like you still want to be at Tennessee when you tweet stuff like that. You're not tweeting almost beat Alabama and highlighting one of the great moments of your career when you did almost beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa in 2009. You're highlighting emotional investments you made in Knoxville. And let me go ahead and tell you, for those that don't believe, and this is nothing that Lane has told me, but for those that don't believe that Knox was named after Knoxville to some extent, I have got some oceanfront property in Lenoir City to sell you, and I would love for you to call me, and we'll get in touch and we'll make it happen. Come on. He named his kid Knox. That was on purpose.
Okay, but there was – okay, I do believe his wife.
And I do want to underscore this. And it shows how dedicated he was to the program had it not been for Southern California.
I got to say this, though. Layla was a California – probably need. She was a Valley girl, right? So she was probably knee-deep in the California celebrity scene and loved it all. You don't think – I actually kind of believe that she was just a big Brad D'Angelina fan, because that was all the craze of the Hollywood people at the time. And they named their kid Knox. And that could have been part of it, too. But now let me ask you this.
I don't know how – and by the way, the lovely Mrs. Calhoun is expecting. I don't know how you all have this conversation, but I can tell you how this conversation would go down with me if my wife said, ooh, you're the head coach at Tennessee. What about Knox for Knoxville? I'm like, hell no. Because I'm a coach, and it's obvious that coaches don't stay at one place too long. So are we going to rename him to Columba if I get the head coaching job at South Carolina? I mean, even to avoid the optics, you say, no way, no how is my kid going to be named Knox?
Question. I shouldn't ask this question, but I'm going to.
Lay it on me, brother.
What is what does that tweet imply that he misses more? Tennessee or his ex-wife?
Both. And his kids being young, which I do. We all do. You all miss your kids being young. I don't want my kids to be young forever, but if I could have them back at that age for like 2 or 3 days, I would do it.
But you can't regret your kids getting old because you can't stop that. Do you think he regrets leaving Tennessee or his ex-wife?
Which does he regret more?
Losing more?
I don't know how their relationship went. I just, do you agree with me that this is a different type? Why did he say that? I know some people are savers. I've never saved one credential from anything.
Because he misses that time period in Knoxville. He misses this guy got divorced. He left his job that was a great job for him. And he realized that he had a great family and that he had a lot of good stuff. And he's just threw it all away. And I'm telling you, he just misses it.
He's still doing all right. Now, portions of the program brought to you by our friends at Sports Treasures, carrying over 5 million sports treasures and so much more. You can follow on Facebook for the best sports memorabilia daily updates. Just go to Sports Treasures TN, Sports Treasures TN. And also, I would like to encourage people to join our Hooker's Corner page. You can check that out. I'm going to put a link for it right here. You can join, get insight into what's going on with Tennessee, in particular in recruiting. We'll have updates there at Hooker's Corner. So let me go ahead and share that URL with you in the message board so you can be a member. When you're a member, you not only are in the drawing for weekly grand prizes, but just last week, we gave away a John Henderson helmet. So we love giving stuff away. Congratulations to our winner. Arya is what he goes by. That's that John Henderson helmet. You might want a helmet autographed by this next guy coming up. A current Tennessee player will join us now. I haven't given it away, but he's live right now. So we'll pull him up here in just a moment. Stay tuned. He's Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. Again, Hooker's Corner, brought to you in part by Sports Treasures, carrying over 5 million sports treasures and so much more. Follow on Facebook for the best in sports memorabilia. With Caleb Calhoun, I'm Dave Hooker. This is a presentation of Off the Hook Sports 2 Minutes, and we talk some balls with a very special guest.
Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
Sports Treasures in North Knoxville is one of the South's largest sports cards and memorabilia dealers, featuring over 10 million sports cards from vintage to modern. Sports Treasures carries a full line of hobby boxes, singles, autographed memorabilia, Tennessee Vol collectibles, fan cave decorations, and so much more. See a museum full of collectibles at Sports Treasures, 4819 North Broadway in Fountain City, and Sports Treasures on Facebook. Sports Treasures, where the real sports fan goes to shop.
Have you seen the latest TriStar Hats Co. product?
TriStar Hats Co.? What's that?
You know, those really cool hats, shirts, tumblers, and even license plates with three stars like the official Tennessee flag and stripes like the American flag. Pretty patriotic, if you ask me.
Ah, gotcha. Seen those. Those are cool. Where can I get them?
Simple. TriStarHatsCo.com. And if you order now, there's 10% on any order $50 or more. Plus, use the promo code HOOKED.
With the promo code HOOKED, you get 10% off. That's HOOKED.
And don't forget free shipping with any order over $50. Stock up at TriStarHatsCo.com. That's TriStarHatsCo.com. There are plenty of wannabes out there, so make sure you go to TriStarHatsCo.com for the best quality and customer service.
Will do, and I'll be sure to use the promo code HOOKED. That's HOOKED when I do to save an additional 10% off. TriStarHatsCo.com.
TriStar Hats Co. is a trademark of TriStar Hats Co. LLC. Any use without express written consent is prohibited.
Now in its 45th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Speech. Play to win, banksjones.com.
Who's this guy?
Hello, wizard!
The Dave Hooker Show.
Ooh.
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
What?
YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the free Off the Hook Sports app. Back to Dave Hooker.
Let's get right to it. Joined by a very special guest. It is Tennessee kicker Josh Turbeville. Josh just out of workouts. Josh, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. I appreciate the time. Tell us how workouts are going. We want to talk about this upcoming season, how you continue to progress and that sort of thing. And but tell me how spring went, how workouts are currently going.
Well, spring went pretty great. You know, with spring ball and everything, we start with school and then we go right into football, which for about 2-3 weeks, it's basically like fall camp, but it's hot outside. And then we just finished up that, and that was good. Spring game went well, went kind of how I wanted it to. And then now we're just in workouts and preparing for finals.
So, Josh, obviously, Chase McGrath was a transfer and then was one and done 2 years ago, then Charles Campbell this past year. There's kind of open competition for the place kicker job right now. How have you and JT Carver embraced that so far?
I mean, it's been great. Like, even from coming in with Chase and Charles, you know, you come in and then they bring in a transfer. And, you know, the best thing you can do in those situations is kind of sit back and realize these guys have been – kicking for in college football for 6 years. So to sit back and learn from them was pretty great. And then now me, JT, and even with Max Gilbert, who also came in last year as a freshman, we all get to compete and make each other better every day.
How did you come up with that attitude, which is the right one to have, that maybe I don't have as much experience, but I can learn, even though that means I'm not kicking as much as I want to? How quickly did you come to that conclusion?
I would say pretty quick. I would say the coaches kind of pushed for that a little bit. And also, I mean, I would talk to my parents about it and they would help me out with that situation and understanding that to not always – like to be humble sometimes and take a step back, look at yourself and see if there's anything you can improve, because if their coaches are going to start the best player at the end of the day. And so if they don't think that's me, then I need to take a step back, see why Charles or Chase are in front of me and then try to replicate what they're doing to make myself better.
So, Josh, an interesting fact about you, a lot of people I'm guessing don't know, is that you have two conjoined toes, which I guess the reason that's intriguing is how does that affect your kicking at all? I guess is what I wanted to ask.
Wait. As a person who has a toe issue, I'm missing a pinky toe. What is a conjoined toe, Josh?
So they're webbed. So if these were my toes, so it's the two next to my big toe, they're connected probably all the way up to here, I would say. And then it's just I can't spread them or anything. So they're just together.
That is wicked cool. What, I mean, that's got to be a great party game trick.
Yeah, I tell people and they're like, what? And then I gotta, take my shoes off and then pull them out and then show them, and then everyone is like, weird out, but they're like, that's cool.
I did the same thing with my missing pinky toe. All right, so you heading into this season and the competition's ongoing, how would you judge your career to this point in the season? You've got an incredibly strong leg. You are handling kickoffs. What are your thoughts on how you performed at this point before we start to talk about goals moving forward?
I'm very happy with how I've performed, because when I came in, they brought me in as a punter who could also do kickoffs, and field goals was my third. And then I came in and then everything happened. We bring in Jackson, who's Aussie style. So that kind of pushed me to go, I realized that, okay, I don't want to be a backup because he's been doing that his whole life. So then I transitioned to working on field goals more. And so now I'm really happy at the spot I'm in, to where I am competing for the starting job on field goal and then working to keep my job on kickoff. So I'm happy with how I'm doing right now, for sure.
So how comfortable are you that it's money from a certain distance, and how comfortable are you a little further out where you feel good because you do have a really strong leg? So kind of give me an idea of your range right now and what you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I'd say in terms of strength, I'm not going to miss short from 55 in. So that's, I would say 55 in, I would be good, but it wouldn't be short. And then I would say my money, if I would say 50 in, I'm getting a lot more consistent. And then it's end of half, I would be comfortable hitting anything 60 yards and in.
Wow. Nice. Caleb, you wanted to ask more about the webbed toes, right?
Well, yeah, because Josh Dave didn't even let you answer about how about how that affects kicking. Does that affect it? Does that have any effect on kicking at all? Or would you even know if it has an effect on kicking because you've had it your whole life?
I mean, I don't think it does. I mean, I don't. I wouldn't.
Is it
really
on your
know.
Kicking? Is it on the foot you kick with?
It's on both. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on, Caleb. You didn't know that.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I don't think it does. I don't feel it, but I also don't know what it would feel like to not have webbed toes.
That's true. Hey, and we love visiting with Josh Turbyville here live on the program. Josh, you had a couple of kickoffs last year that sailed wide and went out of bounds. I know that you were banged up. A lot of people don't know that. Can you talk about the challenge of being as accurate as you can possibly be with dealing with an injury at the same time?
Yeah, it's a lot of kicking is mental. So, and it's got to be the same every single time, because it's kind of, I would say it's very similar to golf. So in golf, if you're thinking about something in your backswing, something's probably going to go wrong with your forward swing. So being banged up, the hardest part is you got to dial in and just kind of realize that football doesn't really care if you're banged up. Either way, you got to do your job. No one's going to be like, oh, you can redo that because you're hurt. So it's just kind of something I had to learn last year, it being my first year, actually playing. So the first couple, to be honest, I wasn't banged up. I was just overhyped and was just trying to swing really hard. But later in the season when, like, you'd be sore, or, like, for me it was my hip would start to hurt. So you just got to – we talk about it all the time, like, refocusing. And so when you're able to do that, then it should go smooth.
So I know you and your family, you grew up Tennessee fans and in Knoxville. Who is the one team that you would most like to kick a at the clock, clock expires, game-winning kick against? Field goal.
I mean, Alabama. Like Chase's scenario, that's exactly what I want. tie game. Like, that's the perfect scenario.
It doesn't get a lot better than that, does it?
Yeah.
Josh, how given the fact that you grew up a Tennessee fan, I'm guessing you are. I know you're young, but you probably know from your family the legacy of Tennessee kickers kicking game winners against rivals, right? With Jeff Hall and James Wilhoit and people like that. Does that mystique ever kind of creep into you when you're working out with the team in Knoxville?
I mean, yes, especially when, like, I've worked out with James Wilhoit. He does a lot of training, so, and he'll come in from time to time and talk to us. So I've talked to him. Jeff Hall, he came and talked to the team, so I was able to see him and talk to him. But I feel like it's just kind of the standard now that if our name is called, you got to be able to go out there and make the field goal. So we try to train for that every day.
Josh, great stuff, buddy. I'll see you around. Best of luck this year. And we're always rooting for you at Off the Hook Sports. So we appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy. Great stuff. That was a lot of fun visiting with Josh Turbyville. And man, I don't know. Next guest we have on, I don't know what Caleb is going to ask him about. So I heard you have Peyronie's disease.
Is it not? I mean, he's a kicker.
Led with conjoined toes?
I thought that, is that not intriguing? You have conjoined toes. Is it an advantage or not? Just like, by the way, is it the world's longest field? I mean, the record for the longest field goal was set by a guy with like half a foot and he had like a metal plate on the other part of it, right? I mean, and it was kind of an unfair record that he set because like,
oh, it wasn't that unfair. For God's sake, he had a half a foot.
He had metal on the other half.
It doesn't matter. You have half a foot. Try walking around with about half a foot. You're going to have to trust me on that.
I didn't say he could. You don't have to walk. He's got to kick.
Try kicking with half a foot. I basically have half a foot. It's harder than you think. All right. Maybe three quarters.
Dave says that like he was a kicker beforehand. Like, you know, I had been Uncle Rico here. You know, man, if I go back in time and keep my whole foot, I'd be amazing all-world kicker.
I'd have been Kicker Rico is who I'd have been. I'm the best damn kicker you ever saw. We never thought that we would talk about bowl expansion again, did we? But CBS Sports is eyeballing college football and the fact that they could expand the bowls. They're hoping to get at least 38 people to each of those bowls is what I'm hearing, Caleb. How can there be more bowls? Nobody's going to them now.
So this is according to Brandon Marcello, reports on CBS that college administrators are continuing to push for more postseason access in all sports. And bowl season director Nick Carparelli believes that is possible because the playoff is expanding to 12 teams and potentially 14 by 2026. And because they think revenue sharing will entice players to play in more bowl games. This is one of the most laughable things I've ever seen. There are 5-7 teams that go to bowls now because they don't have enough teams that are bowl eligible.
Are you going to be okay with 4-8? You have to do that to have more bowl games?
I mean, you're going to have to at that point, right? Like, you're going to have to let 4-8 teams in. This is going to be embarrassing. The only way I would be okay with this, I'm going to go back to my old ways, which is if you started letting FCS teams in bowl games, you'd have to start letting FCS teams in bowl games and maybe do a relegation thing where, like, okay, like, the five, maybe the 10 bottom bowl games, like, have, like, a bottom 10 and FBS teams go to those and they have to play FCS teams for a relegation. How epic would that be?
See, here's the problem. It's all driven by TV. You would agree with that. It's not ticket sales. We passed that point a long time ago. Who is going to watch a potential Iowa State, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga bowl matchup? If you have, I mean, not that it's much better if it's Iowa State, Idaho State. I mean, but there are just a lot of bad choices out there and not very many good ones. And the fact that this occurs during the time in which they're instituting a playoff just makes it harder to get viewers, not easier. I already ask myself sometimes, you know, if the missus wants to go out to dinner or whatever, do I really need to watch this bowl? It's part of my job, but it's a lame one. I'm not talking about a Tennessee or SEC game. I'm talking about one of those that's on a Tuesday evening on ESPN8. So how am I going to get motivated to watch a bowl game that not only is not a factor in determining a championship, it's not a game between two good teams. Like who? I'm trying to remember. Georgia played last year in the bowl.
Florida State, where they won 63-0.
Okay, at least going in with Georgia, Florida State, you've got Florida State got air quotes robbed. Georgia didn't make the playoff. They would have won it. I mean, you've got at least something on the front end. The game didn't turn out to be a good game, but you got something on the front end to sell. How would you sell Iowa State UTC? No offense to either of those schools.
Well, this is why they expanded the playoff to begin with, what you just brought up, because so many elite New Year's Six bowl games, there were teams playing in them that were mad they weren't in the playoffs, so they stopped caring about the bowl game, i.e. Florida State last year. There's no way you're going to be able to make this work. And here's the other part, Dave. When do bowl season start? Do you know the weekend they start?
Well, I know the weekend that I start paying attention, usually it's about 10 days after the regular season starts, so I don't know if that answers your question.
Bowl season starts the Saturday after the Army-Navy game.
Okay, so 1 week. So I give it about 10 days.
The college football playoff is going to start the Saturday after the Army-Navy game.
So are they going to play all the minor bowls that week? Because that's the only time to get them in.
They're going to be playing them while all the coverage is centered on the college football playoff week one games. So we're going to be sitting here talking about, you know, I don't know, can this group of five team upset this power five team in the first round? And then the, you know, blackjack Russian roulette game bowl in Nowheresville, Kansas is happening. And teams like, hey, guys, want to cover us? Hey, ESPN, want to cover us? And it's going to be
throw a couple of things on the message board, because I think we got some really good points. People still bet on the bowl games like crazy. Is gambling enough to make those bowl games relevant? It's not for me because I don't gamble, but you do. So I want to lean on you on that a little bit.
Gambling has saved a ton of sports. Horse racing is back. For the first time since the 1950s, horse racing matters again because people are betting a lot more.
And Travis has another good idea, I think. It's keep them regional. Now, let's say, give me a 5-7 team from last year in the SEC. Give me a 5-7
team. Florida. I think Florida went 5-7.
Okay. Give me a good group of five team that's from that area. Florida International or no?
Florida International, maybe.
I don't know what season they had, but I could see drumming up interest in that. Can the Gators beat this lowly little local team? I would watch that. I would watch that.
Would you watch that if it was on the TV at the same time as the playoff?
No, let me be clear. I'm not watching that at the same time my wife wants to go out to dinner. I'm taking her to dinner instead. But I'm just saying, if I'm sitting there flipping around and it's that and MacGyver reruns, then yes, I'm going to probably watch that bowl game if they made it appealing from a regional standpoint, as Travis pointed out. I'm kind of sort of maybe okay with that. It's a bad idea all around, Caleb. I'm just trying to help the poor guys out.
Dave, don't tell me honestly when I am with child within a month, will somebody like me even be able to watch a game like that? Or is that the ones I'm going to have to prioritize and throw on the back burner?
It'll completely change how much you know about sports.
Yeah.
You will suddenly be very bad at fantasy football. And I warn you that your gambling could sink as well. That tends to happen.
Yeah, but I'm saying that because, like, if you don't have – who has time nowadays to watch a game like that?
I mean, there are people who go straight home, and that's part of what they do for December. It's not me unless it's an SEC school.
And also, you keep it regional. Okay, pretend, let's go, okay, you're working at the Knox News Sentinel again, okay? You have to cover Tennessee, all right? You have to be their beat reporter. You got to cover everything they're doing. They do the suggestion of keeping it regional. So, Dave, let's say hypothetically Tennessee plays MTSU in some bowl game that does not matter after Tennessee went 5-7 and MTSU was 6-6, okay? And it's one of these random bowl games we're talking about. You have to cover that the same day the first weekend of the playoff is happening. How angry would you be that you have to miss the playoff to cover this bowl game?
Oh, well, I would be very angry, yeah. But that's just kind of part of the job. I've been a lot of bad bowl games, man.
Oh, I know, but I mean, this is going to make it so much worse. You're going to expand the bowl game and have them happening the same week as the college football playoff, and you're going to have FCS schools playing, and there will be ESPN broadcasters that have to broadcast this game while the college football playoff is going on. They have my ultimate sympathy, honestly, for that. This is just so ridiculous, and they're not going to make the money on it. You're right, they're going to lose money. The only way they'll make money is if what we're talking about earlier, there's so much betting going on right now. But I'm this is going to be funny to see. Half the reason I like betting, Dave, is the camaraderie of it. I like being at a casino with a bunch of other people betting on games, and we're all watching them together, and we're all talking, you know, trash to each other if our bet hits and theirs doesn't and things like that.
You're going to have to go in the janitor's closet to find some of the games that you're talking about on television.
Yes, exactly. They're not going to have room. This is so – this is America at its worst. American capitalism has always been, if something is good, more must be better. That does not – that's not true. Just because something is good does not mean more is better.
Are you ready for something dumb that I'm afraid is going to happen? I haven't even brought it up to you because I don't want to be wrongly attributed as the guy who thought of this idea. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm waiting for them to say there's going to be a consolation bowl. I'm not even kidding.
You mean the like one the teams that don't make the...
The one and the four, the two and the three play, and the losers play. I'm waiting for that, for them to squeeze a little bit more money out of it. It's a stupid idea. I didn't come up with it. Will you back me on that?
No, you didn't.
Well, I guess I came up with it, but I'm not proposing it. Yeah. I'm not proposing it, but would you be stunned if we were talking about that on the show tomorrow, that they came up with a possible consolation game? They used to do those things.
No, I wouldn't. But what coach would actually encourage their team to play hard in the consolation game?
I wouldn't even let the bus driver touch the keys.
I mean, now I will say this.
There would be no way I would show up for that game with my team.
Okay, here's the funny part, though. I'm saying this out loud. And I'm saying, okay, one, we have to get past this laughable premise that he would even be in the contention for a consolation bowl game like that. But pretend Butch Jones was in a consolation game. Oh, you know he'd go all in on that consolation game, right? He'd be like, consolation bowl champions. And he would be bragging so much. Look, there are going to be these relegation bowls. Here's what I think is going to happen. FCS will play a lower FBS team. And like, if the lower FBS team loses, they get relegated. That's what these 10 new bowl games will be. Butch Jones will lead Arkansas State into one of these relegation bowls, and he'll brag about winning it. I'm telling you, he will wear a shirt of, we are champions of this, we're not terrible bowl game that we just won.
He's Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. Weekdays at 10 a.m. Don't forget to join Hooker's Corner. Hit that like and subscribe button before you leave, because we got a huge crowd on board right now. For Caleb, I'm Dave. Off the Hook Sport.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.